Our text for meditation tonight is in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And the subject for our meditation is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, which is the fifth point of Calvinism. It is the P of the word tulip. The letter T stands for total depravity. The letter U stands for unconditional election. L stands for limited atonement. I stands for irresistible grace. And P stands for perseverance of the saints. And the church again is divided on this point. Not everyone in the Church of Christ, I think we can say probably the majority of the professing Church of Christ, do not believe this doctrine. Many professing Christians believe that it is possible for a believer, for a man in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, yet it is possible for that person to be lost. Many don't believe once saved, forever saved. And yet what this doctrine teaches is that those who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ shall be surely saved. Those who in whom Christ began a saving work will persevere to the end. And to prove this, I have four arguments. Four arguments that I hope will prove to you that the believer, that the saints, will be preserved and will persevere to the end. My first argument is the love of God. The reason why you and I, believer, will persevere, it's not the strength of our love for Christ. It's not the passion of our affections for Jesus, but it is the love of Christ for us. It is not because we love Him that we are going to be saved. It is because He loved us. It is because of His love that salvation is sure. It's not because we are good enough. It is not because we are sensible Christians. It is not because we are spiritually awakened or spiritually sensitive. It is because God loves us. And this love, because of the nature of this love, that our salvation is safe. First of all, this love is undeserved. God doesn't love you, Christian, because you love Him. God loves you because He loves you. It's strange to speak in this way. People would say it's not very powerful, but I find it is an invincible argument. God loves His people because He loves them. There is nothing outside of Himself. This is the reason of His love. Moses said to the people of Israel, "The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, but because the Lord loved you." This is the biblical argument. God's love. You will be in heaven when time is gone. When eternity comes, believer, you will be in heaven. Not because you have loved God all your life, but because God had loved you with an everlasting love. That's the difference between man's religion and the religion of God. In man's religion, it is all according what we are doing for God. And our doing make our salvation certain. But in the Christian religion, in the biblical faith, our salvation is sure because of God. Because of His love. And this love is not for those that merit. It's not for those that deserve it. This love is given, is offered, is manifested to those who do not deserve it. God loves you, Christian, though you don't deserve that love. And there is nothing, nothing you can do to make God more loving towards you. You might be perfect in your life, if this would be possible. And yet all your perfections would not make God more loving. The love of God is independent from ourselves. We are but the receivers of that love. And our good behavior doesn't make God more loving. His love is the same. If you are faithful, if you are not, the love of God for His people is the same. Because it is not according to our merits. It's not dependent on our love for Him. His love is freely given to His people, though they don't deserve it. Can you see my point? Can you see why your salvation, Christian, is certain? Can you see why you are going to persevere to the end? It's nothing about you. It's nothing that you can do for your salvation. It is because God has loved you with an undeserved love. It is undeserved. Your perseverance, believer, is undeserved. You don't deserve, Christian, to be in heaven. You don't deserve. You don't merit it. You're coming to church as a Christian. Your Bible reading, your prayers, your act of obedience won't make you worthy of heaven. It is the love of God, and only because of that love, that you and I will be in heaven at last. It's nothing about us. It's all about God. So this love is undeserved. But also this love is eternal. God said through His prophet Jeremiah, to a sinful people, to a rebellious city, to a city that was going to be destroyed very soon, to them He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Again, our redemption is safe. We are going to persevere to the end because of God's love. Not because of our love for Him, but because of His love for us. And this love is from everlasting to everlasting. This love that God has for His people lasts forever. It's not only when we are faithful. This love doesn't end when we stop to love Him. But this love has no beginning and no end. Can you see the wonders of this love? He has loved us with an never-dying love. With an everlasting love. With an unchangeable love. Before the world was, He loved us. He set His own affections upon us. And so because the nature of this love is not limited in time, does not depend on things happening on time, our salvation is therefore sure. But more than this, this love is unchangeable. Unchangeable. It does not change with our changes. It does not based, it's not grounded on our faithfulness and on our obedience. But it is always the same. C.S. Lewis, and he said that There is nothing we can do to make the love of God bigger for us. And there is nothing we will ever do that will make the love of God for His people smaller. That love that God has for you, believer, is always the same. When you backslide, Christian, when you backslide, God loves you in the same way when you are faithful. And God loves you today, believer, as He loved you in eternity past. And He loves you today in the same way He will love you in eternity future. God sees you and loves you in the same way He will love you when you are perfectly glorified without sin in your life. The love of God is not going to increase. It cannot increase. God loves us at its highest point. The love of God is perfect. And because you are in Christ, Christian, God sees you in Christ. God doesn't see you in your filthy rags anymore, believer. Those filthy rags are gone. God sees you righteous in Christ. God sees you clothed in white robes. God sees you perfect in Jesus. And in Christ, the love of God for you is perfect. And we can say that God loves His people as He loves His Son. Can you understand me here? The love that God has for you, believer, is the same love that unites the Father and the Son. The same love. The same perfect, unchangeable, eternal love that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is now freely given to hell-deserving sinners, such as we are. This is the King of all subjects. The love of God is the most wonderful doctrine that a preacher will ever speak of. And because of this love, I am going to be in heaven, and so are you, Christian. It is His love that saved us. Because He loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Because He loved sinners, that He sent Christ to be the propitiation for our sins. Because He loved the ungodly. That's why we are safe in our redemption. It is not because of God and us. It's not God's grace and man's efforts. It is all of grace. Salvation belongs to the Lord in its plan, in its accomplishment, in its application, in its fulfillment. So my first argument is the love of God. In a sense, we could stop here, we could go home and start thinking about the love of God. And I can tell you, if we as God's people would consider more the love of God, would spend more time studying and meditating the love of God, our lives would be transformed. If we would grasp and know that depth, the height of the love of Christ for us, we will not be the same Christians that we are today. The love of God is the most powerful, transforming thing that a Christian will ever experience. So, what is other arguments that we can use in proving the perseverance of the saints? The second one is God's choice. If the first one is God's love, the second one is God's choice. Look at verse 30, what he says. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So glorification is that part of our salvation when God will deliver us from the power of sin, from the presence of sin, from all sin, and we will be body and soul transformed in the image of Christ. It is talking about the end, the consummation of our salvation. Glorification. And this glorification This being and God's kingdom at the end is based on predestination. Those who are predestinated, God calls, justifies, and glorifies. And so, our being in heaven, our being in Zion, is based, founded in God's choice. You are not a Christian because you have chosen God. I hope you have understood this now. You are a Christian because God has chosen you. And it's not your will that will bring you to heaven. It is the will of God. It is His choice that you go to heaven. It's not your choice. Your choice is to go to hell, Christian. Left to yourself, if God leaves you for a second, you will run to hell. But God has decided for you. God has chosen for you. God has decreed for you. God has foreordained for you an eternity in heaven. And remember that the God who has decreed your salvation is an unchangeable God. He doesn't change His mind. You might, but He doesn't. So if salvation, as the Armenians say, is my coming to Christ, if I am saved because I believed on Jesus, therefore there is a danger for me that I might reject this faith, lose my faith, and be lost again. But if I am saved because God has drawn me unto Him, if I am saved because God has saved me, if my salvation is based, founded in Him, in His love, in His choice, therefore, my salvation is safe. I change my mind. On certain days, I'm full of zeal for God and I want to be faithful to God. And there are days that I almost lose my faith. But God doesn't change. God is always the same. There's a verse in Malachi that says, because I am the unchangeable God, therefore, Jacob, thou art not consumed. Because of His unchangeable nature, unchangeable character, unchangeable will and plan, because of this choice, we are safe. You can't change the mind of God, believer. You just cannot. It is impossible for you to make God to change His mind. All your sins, all your backsliding, all your failures will not put God off. He will never give up. He has decreed for you eternal glory, and so will be. What a glorious thing, brethren. What a relief. What a peace. No wonder the psalmist was fearless with such a God. Our salvation is safe because of the love of God. Our salvation is sure because of God's choice. But thirdly, our salvation is safe and sure because of God's word. Because of the word of God. What do I mean? I mean His declaration. His declaration. Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And what is justification? Most of you know this very well. It's not our being righteous before God. It's not God making us righteous. It is God declaring us righteous. It is an act of God. It is God once and for all declaring those that believe on Christ, His own elect, His own people, declaring them to be righteous. And because of this glorious, undeserved declaration, Christian, you are saved. Forever. Forever. God has declared you righteous. You are a Christian. You are in Christ. He has declared in your heart and conscience and before the powers of heavens and the powers of hell, He has declared you forgiven. He has declared that you have received as a gift the righteousness of Christ. He has declared you to be righteous or like His Son. In His Son, you are righteous. And because of this declaration, because of what God says to us and about us, our salvation is safe. So the apostles say, who is this that is condemning us? Who are those accusing us? Where are they? My conscience is condemning me. My families are condemning me. The devil is accusing me all the time because of my sin. But what's the problem? God has declared me righteous. Righteous. Christian, I want you to grasp this once and for all. You are not righteous because you believed in God. You are not righteous because you behave better than other people. You are righteous before God because He has declared you righteous. He has reckoned on you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You need nothing else. And though you might doubt and struggle, you are righteous before God. You are clothed once and for all with that righteous, the garment of the righteous, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You need nothing else to be in heaven. There is nothing you can add to that declaration. Your obedience will not make you more righteous before God. Your faithfulness, your doing, your actions won't make you more righteous. You are already in Christ, perfectly righteous. That's the way God sees you. That's the way God has declared about you. When Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he says that He made Christ to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That's the righteousness you have. That's the righteousness you have received. Not the righteousness of a church, but the righteousness of God. A perfect righteousness. And because of this declaration, you are safe. Though your sins might be many, Christian, you are saved. And when the judgment day comes, believer, trembling as we will be, trembling because of all our failures, and when all our sin will be listed there, all of them, all our evil thoughts and all our wicked action listed before our holy God, when we will be waiting for hell, it will be forgiven. There will be mercy received into the kingdom because Christ has saved us. And you are here unconverted, without Christ, without hope. Say, minister, what shall I do to be saved? You need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You need Christ. You need Jesus. You need Him and Him alone. I can't make you righteous. The church cannot make you righteous. Your feeling will never make you righteous. But Christ, His righteousness will justify you before God. Come to Him then and ask Him for that righteousness. Come to Him to be washed in His blood. Only Christ can save you. But when we speak about God's word and making this salvation safe, also I want you to notice His promises. God has made wonderful promises to His people. We read in verse 38 and 39. Let us read it again. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. What a promise. There is nothing, nothing that will separate us from the love of God. He has promised that He will love us forever. But also, in the prophet Isaiah, this is what he promised. Can a woman forget her sucking child? that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? They may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. What a promise! He has promised, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's the promise. Your name, believer, is graven in the palms of God's hand. And this is what Jesus said in the New Testament, talking about his sheep. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No one and nothing can separate us from God. This is why our salvation is saved. God has promised that no one and nothing, no powers in heaven and in hell, will ever pluck us out from His hand. I was hearing last night an excellent sermon, and he was quoting that verse in the Bible. It says that underneath are the everlasting arm of God. And this man was notice that God's arms are not around us, surrounding us, but God's hands are underneath. It doesn't matter how down we go. It doesn't matter how deep we fall. Underneath us, in the depth of our sins, in the horror of our backsliding, underneath that are the arms of our God. It's impossible to fall underneath the arms of the everlasting God. He will always hold us and keep us. And here is the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism. The Arminians teach that it is my holding of Christ that keeps me safe. We say, no, it's not my holding God. It's God holding me. It's God keeping me. It's God preserving me. It is God's work. For He has promised, I will never leave thee. I will never be separate from you, Christian. Not even your sin, Christian. Not even your wickedness. Not even your unbelief. Not even that will separate you from your God. I know that we try. We try in our Christian lives to go away from God. We turn our backs to God. And yet, in His mercy and His grace, He always keeps us. He's always united to us. But there is a fourth reason, another powerful reason. His love, His choice, His word, His Son. Here is the foundation of everything. Our salvation is safe because of Christ. Verse 34. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Why is the Christian sure of the glory of heaven? Why? Because Christ died for us. Christ paid our debt. Christ has cleansed us, believer, from all our sins. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus has been condemned on your side. Jesus died your death. Jesus was punished in your stead. Therefore, all the condemnation, the wrath that was upon you, has been removed and taken away. There is no more need for you to suffer. There is no more need for you to go to hell. Christ went on your stead. He went for you there. He suffered the sufferings of hell on the cross for you, Christian. There is no more danger for you to be in hell. Christ did it for you. But more than his death, he speaks of him being risen again. What has the resurrection to do with our salvation? In his resurrection, we are assured that God was pleased and satisfied with the work of Christ. In His resurrection He was declared the Son of God. His resurrection proves to the heavens and to us that it is finished. That nothing is more required. That God has accepted the sacrifice of Christ for the redemption of His people. The price has been paid. The ransom has been paid. The debt taken away. The wrath removed. Peace with God. And His resurrection assures us, brethren, that we are saved. But lastly, His intercession. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. When you fall, believer, when you sin against your God, when you do what is evil in His sight, when you deserve to be in hell, when God's wrath will be poured out against you, there is Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God, interceding for you. And the reason why we are not consumed, it is for Jesus Christ and His intercession. We should appreciate more this. We don't think enough about this. But Christ still working for our salvation. We tend to think Calvary, that's it. Christ has done everything, there is nothing more. And yet Christ is our intercessor. Christ as a priest, as a glorified priest, He intercedes for us before God. There is nothing to fear, Christian. If you are a Christian, your salvation is safe and sure in Christ. In Christ. In His work. In His word. In His love. In His promises. In His choice. We are more than conquerors. We should be fearing no one and nothing. We could look in the face of the devil and be strong. No fear. If God be with us, who can be against us? But the point is God on your side? Are you one with Christ? This salvation is safe for those who are in Christ. For those who have united themselves to Christ. For those who have received Jesus and the terms of His covenant, only for those the salvation is sure. For the others, destruction and condemnation. I've mentioned this to you many times, and it is one of the Puritans said, yes, it is wonderful if God be for us, who can be against us? But if God is against us, who can be for us?